to, I think in June, we're going to go to Punxsutawney, somewhere up by Punxsutawney, and we're going to record 5 songs that David's putting together. So Dave and Chris and that will come in. So we're going to get a CD, amen? So it's going to be good. So I'm going to open up with this scripture. My wife's going to share a couple things too, because that's why she's here. She's here with me to support me. But we're going to talk about it, and you're going to get it as soon as I say it. So you ready for this? It ain't. You all right in here? Just wave. Everybody just wave those things and get them going, man. We will create a whirlwind going here. Amen? All right. A little bit harder, Sherry. This way. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. That's all right. It's fine. Do you want to turn that? We can turn that for everybody. Is that good? There you go. You got a little bit of wind there, guys? I got to get some for me, that's it. All right, here we go. Listen, this is in Judges 6. How many of you guys ever heard about Gideon? You know Gideon in the Bible? Listen, I'm probably going to preach this different than you've ever heard it before, but that's what I do, amen? So I want to bring this out in a way that it speaks to me. You know, the Word of God speaks to everybody. It's living Word. Did you ever hear that phrase? It's the living Word of God. That means that it's moving, it's breathing, it's powerful because the Word of God can speak. I'm sorry, stand funny. But it's speaking, it speaks. The Word of God speaks. It's alive. So that means this. I can read Gideon. I've preached Gideon before. Preached it to my young people. Preached it for years. But all of a sudden, when you're reading that Word, it's not old, it's new. And it could spark something to me today. Amen? That's what God does. Let God's Word speak to your life. And it causes you to rise up. It causes you to move. It causes you, Ezekiel speaks of that, how that it causes those things that are dead to stand up. Amen? So, let's get going here, and let's look at Gideon. And it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them unto the Midian for 7 years." First of all, let me just deal with this, because at first, it sounds like, what? God delivered them to something that was an enemy that was greater than them. But I want us to understand something, that God didn't deliver them. God, really what He did was release them to what they wanted. And that's an unfortunate thing to be at a place where God will release you to have what you want. If this is what you want, remember the prodigal son? Remember how that he had everything. He had everything. He had the home. He had blessings. Everything. He had authority. But his father says, if you want to go ahead and go. It's up to you, because I don't want you to be here. Do you know God doesn't want you? It's a relationship. That's what's so powerful. God wants you to be in this relationship with Him because you want to. And not only that, but you know that He loved me first. That God's love for me causes me to love Him. His love for me causes me. That's like a relationship where we have one another. That my love for her causes her to love me. Say, wow, I love Him because He loves me so much. If it's one-sided, man, it's hard. But you know God loves you even when you don't love Him. Is that the truth? Come on. Have you always loved God? Listen, sometimes you've been mad at God. But here's the thing. And it says, Israel did evil in the sight of God. They did evil. And then I'm going to get to your thing. They did evil. That word evil means it really wasn't just something that an act that they did. But the evil speaks of character. It speaks of, evil speaks of, they were living to a lower standard, to a false identity, to a lower realm, and they really weren't living to who they were, the way they were supposed to. In a sense where that their identity was flawed. They were living lower than what God intended them to live. Higher, in a way that God says, listen, I want to bless you, I want to support you, I want to strengthen you. But when we turn our heads from God and says, I don't want to hear you, God, I don't want to let God arise, we're doing all our thing. That's living at a lower standard, man. That's doing it our own way. It's living in a fleshly way, in a lower realm, and we're saying, you know what, I got this. How many of you ever said that? Have you said that? I've said that. I got this, God. I can do this on my own. Maybe in situations where you're trying to overcome something or things come your way, and you're doing it in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own power. Guess what? You fell. You can get along for a little bit. You might be able to pop one out of the park once in a while, but guess what? It doesn't work all the time. So I want you to see this. So here they are. They had a character flaw. And it says, this is blowing this way. There you go. And it says,
And he delivered them into the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them dens, which are strongholds and caves. Caves and strongholds. And there, and so it was that Israel had shown the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of East even came up against them. Okay, let me explain this to you. That word Midian, are you ready for this? It is a powerful word because it has meaning. And I want you to relate to this because we can grab hold of this and say, man, this is, I want to take this because I believe it will touch every one of our hearts somewhere, somehow. But the word Midian means strife. How many of you ever heard of the word strife? How many of you have ever had strife? How many of you familiar with that person called strife? Sometimes it invades you. Sometimes it gets on you. Sometimes those things, it comes and sometimes we create it. Sometimes it's not because we did it. It's because somebody threw it on us and it got on us. And how did this happen? And it causes conflict. It causes problems in relationships. But my wife's going to read some of these things about strife. But I want you to see this, that they were had strife in their life. And God let them say, listen, I cannot associate. I can't be part of that. I'm not going to get involved in that. God doesn't want to get involved with strife. God will step in to your pit and your problem, but He won't stay there. He's not going to hang out there and we're going to, hey, let's have a party here. No, God says, come. Come, all those that are heavy laden, come with me and I will give you rest. Not here though. Say thank you, Lord. I'm going to pull you out of your pit, and you're going to come with me, and I'm going to give you the opportunity. Here's my hand. Come on, amen. I want you to see this. And God's reaching out, say, here, come on. Come on, I'm pulling you here. And so many times that whether we got to wake ourselves up and realize that God's always reaching His hand out. He's always near. He's always present. And we got to decide every day to say, God, I need You to pull me out of this place. I need You, God. So He pulls you out of that place, and we walk with God. Remember how we talked a couple weeks ago about being in rhythm with God? God will not stay in rhythm in a pit. You want to get out of rhythm with God is when you stay in a pit, whether it's strife, whether it's the problems you have been so used to. And I want to help you get out of it tonight. Amen. I want us to get out of strife and those things that kind of pull us down. Amen. So go ahead and read.
I have the scripture, James 3:16. And it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work. So, I was looking into the scripture. So envying and strife breeds confusion. And when you have confusion, then it goes into an evil work. Strife is a killer. It's a killer. And it's actually a demonic assault. And the devil knows that envy and strife destroy relationships. He knows that, and he will use it against each other. It happens in marriages. It happens in families. It happens in churches, in church bodies, in church organizations. It happens in businesses. It happens. So he uses that, and he is well aware that he can create envy and strife between you and the ones you love. He can ruin those special relationships that God intended you to have and be a blessing in your life. He uses those with strife and envying. Amen? So, I don't know. Oh. Strife, I wrote down, because I looked up the word. We all know what strife is, but I wanted to write some key things down about strife. It's angry or bitter disagreement. Opposite views, friction, discord, arguments, fighting, lack of agreement or harmony, contention for superiority, and struggle for victory. A struggle, which is also a clash. You have a clash. Somebody always wants to be right. And they always want to have their viewpoints upon somebody else. They always have to be right. So that's where the clash is. Envy, on the other hand, is a feeling of discontentment, resentful longing. It's a jealousy, envy, and enviness, covetousness, spite, hatred, desire for more. Painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. So you get upset if somebody has something that you don't have, and you get upset and you envy that, and it breeds contention, spite, hatred, if you let it work within you.
This is Philippians 4:13. It says, "For it is God that works in you both to will and to decree of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings." That means do things disagreeing thoughts. Now listen, I want you to get this. So here's the problem. See, God wanted to bless the children of Israel. God wants to bless you. Do you believe that? God wants to bless you. God wants the best for you. When we begin to look at other people and wish what they have, we begin to resent other people, we begin to bring strife against somebody, if I begin to badmouth Beth, or I badmouth Mimsy, I begin to talk about that person, all of a sudden that begins to bring strife, something into my heart, and it's a disagreeing, we got to do it without murmuring or complaining. And he says that what we begin to do is we begin to argue and say that, you know what, my life isn't good enough. What God has given me isn't enough. Come on, amen? And we begin to disagree and we think we want something more, but we got to understand that what God is giving us, we got to take hold of it. Because a lot of the things that we have are because we disputed against God's will in our lives. We've argued with God. We've disagreed with what God thinks about us, and we try to do things outside of that relationship, and we've caused problems. Whether we coveted a relationship or tried to have this or have something else in our lives beside what God gave us. The children of Israel did that. Remember when they came out of Egypt? They came out of that place where that they were slaves. Come on, tell someone they were slaves. They were in bondage. Guess what? They had to make bricks with just the things of the earth, and they had it with straw, and they had to do it themselves every single day, work after work. They were slaves in conditions that were horrible, but yet God delivered them. Stop and think about this, guys. He split the Red Sea. You're walking out of there with this old gray beard guy with a cane, and he lifts up his thing, and God splits it, and God says, "I'm with this guy, I love you, and I'm going to show you." And all of a sudden it happens, and they turn back, and every one of their enemies were consumed by the Red Sea. They began to dance, they began to celebrate, they began to say, "This is awesome." But I want you to know, listen to me, as things began to progress, they ended up murmuring and complaining about where they were, because they were eating the same thing for a certain amount of time. You were just slaves a few years ago making brick. It can't be that bad. Yes, it might be a little bit warm in the desert, but yet God's providing everything that you need, but it wasn't enough. That relationship with God just wasn't enough. And what happens is when we begin to murmur, and then they begin to lash out at one another. I want you to know this. What she said was so powerful, because what it does is it actually is a spirit that can catch hold of you. We give place to it. We give opportunity to come into our lives to cause disruption. Have you had disruptions? Have you had confusion in your life? Sometimes I want you to know a lot of it is because of strife that we've created in relationships with one another, because we've said something and we've... Come on, has it happened to you? You've caused confusion. You've caused chaos. And we stand back and we're like, "What's going on?" God's like, "Are you kidding me? Do you remember this and this and this?" But He doesn't do that. He lets us walk in our... And what we have is, say, "Here, this is what you want. If you want this, here it is." But He says that, listen, we got to stop with murmuring, complaining about one another, strife with one another, looking at one another saying, "Man, I wish I had this desire." What did you say? Greed? Envy and envy of one another, looking at somebody else, wishing what they have. Just live your life. Do you know what you do when you begin to wish your life was something else? You begin to lose your life. "Well, I wish I was this. I wish I was that." No. You need to say, "I'm going to be the best that God created me to be. I'm going to walk in the character that God..." Because if not, it'll cause strife in your life. Hey, amen. You get that? It'll cause strife. So that's what happened with the Midianites. They came in with the strife, And the children of Israel gobbled it up. They're like, they had this strife in their life. And it says it caused them to live in strongholds, in dens, and caves. That strife will cause you to lose relationships. People won't trust you no more. And those people that believed in you because of that strife that you've caused, turn their back. Only because they can't take it no more. Come on, you been there? Come on. But I want you to know that, listen to me, that is only what the enemy tries to do. But we got to look and see what God has in store. Amen? What God has in store for our lives. We need to take hold of that. Amen?
Listen. Uh-oh. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, I broke it.
They're only dollar store. Sorry. Listen. And he says, and it was when Israel had sown, they sown that the Midianites came up. I want you to see this. They sown. What did they sow? The Midianites' strife. It came up. And the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. Wow. And it says, and then they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou came unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. It's in the Bible. I want you to get this. Everything that they produced, the things that they were creating, because of this strife, because of this thing that was within them, they were murmuring, complaining. Because of it, it caused them to lose the increase of their life, that joy, that hope, that purpose. And when you have strife like that with one another, you begin to argue, you have that within you, that strife that kind of causes these problems, it'll cause you to lose what you have. Listen, they had oxen, they had sheep, and they had donkeys. And every one of them are a purpose because they're powerful, because they're used for different things. But the first ones were what? The first one was what? A sheep. Do you know what they use sheep for? For offerings. To who? To God. I want you to know what strife, what confusion, what this chaos can do to our lives if we let it in. Is it can cause us to lose our worship. See, because the sheep were dedicated to God as an offering, as worship to God. And I want you to see that, listen, because of that strife, because of that in their life, they didn't want to worship them. They lost the sense of worship in their lives. Listen, that's the worst thing that can happen in our lives when we don't want to worship. Why? Because when you worship God, you let God arise. God gets above your problems, and all of a sudden when you begin to worship God, there's something that happens when you begin to declare things. Lord, I lift your name on high. You begin to sing that, and you really stretch out. You stretch yourself and go beyond your borders and say, man, I just want to worship God. Just get alone. Try it sometime. Just begin to worship God. Something happens inside you. Amen? Something stirs within you. Something begins to quicken you. That's what worship does. It causes you to get above your problems and your situations. And the enemy wants to do everything he can to pull you away from worship. Because he realizes how powerful it is. See, because when you lose your worship, you lose your sense of how big God is. And you open yourself up to that strife and that. You begin to open yourself up to that. So we don't want that, do we? We don't want that in our lives. We don't want that kind of... Life's tough as it is, ain't it? Let alone opening ourselves up to strife and envy and confusion. So I want you to see here that... But the enemy cannot do anything that you don't let him give him. That you don't give him that authority to take. And we do that by opening ourselves up to that. When we begin to badmouth one another, we begin to discourage and speak bad things about ourselves. Do you know when you talk bad about yourself? Do it without murmuring, because you know what? God thinks you're the best. Tell your neighbor you're the best. Whether you like your neighbor or not, turn to your other neighbor that you don't like, tell him, say, you're the best. All right. Say, well, you know, isn't it something? There's something about that. When you could, you begin to encourage one another. You begin to speak that and do it to yourself. Look in the mirror and say, ah, yes, you're the best. There's no Chris like me. God made me. I'm the best Chris, this Chris, that he's ever made. There'll never be another. You're the best Kelly ever. God created you like nobody else. God created you, and you know what? I want you to know, if you met... Oh. Listen, this phone right here. You see this phone? This phone solved the problem. Do you know that? See, anything that is invented was to solve something. These benches here, they sat on the floor before. So there was a problem, wasn't there? So somebody created it and made it so that you could sit your butts on it. So here's this phone. The problem was, I need to talk to Dave. But he lives on the other side of town. So I got to call him. So what did they do? They began to create phones. They began to get the technology to create something to solve a problem. Now, you ready for this? If God's our creator, that means you were created for something. To solve something that nobody else could. Listen, I want you to know the only way that we ultimately find out what that is with God. In our walk with God. And the enemy wants to do everything he can to disrupt that. So you use so many things in your life to let things come in your life to disrupt what God has planned for you. So that you find yourself like the children of Israel. Where were they at? They were in caves. They were in strongholds. And they were hidden. They were hiding themselves because of the enemy came upon them. Things that they created, they let in their life. They opened themselves up to this. They put them in mountains and in caves and in strongholds. So this thing came like an invasion and invaded every area of their lives. It doesn't stop. So I want you to know that when we begin to murmur about who we are, we begin to look and think that we're not good enough, we're not worthy. Listen, if you don't think you're good enough, why, you don't want to get up in the morning. You want to throw in the towel. So the enemy will do, the first thing he'll do is take your worship from you. So you have no power. See, because worship's power, man. It's power. It unleashes something. It causes you, encourages you.
I just wanted to note too, envy, the enemy targets, his main goal is to use strife to divide. And strife is an evil spirit that creates an atmosphere of anger, and it makes you miserable and causes bickering, arguing, and all sorts of things that offend other people. So it's actually, you know, if you let it hang around and don't do anything about the envying and the strife, it breeds confusion. And then the confusion goes into the evil part of it, which is an evil spirit that will just attach itself. And you cannot get out of it unless you worship God, like Pastor Chris said, worship God. The two causes of strife the Bible mentions, I believe, is jealousy and greed. In Proverbs 28:25, it states, "He who is of a greedy spirit stirs up strife, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be enriched and blessed." Amen. So people who are greedy and never satisfied with what they have and who always want more stir up strife. And I wrote this down. When you are saying this, "I want more, I need this, I want this," we're saying sometimes that what you have is not enough and you're always wanting more, which your wants cause strife because it's the works of the flesh. And you have to let the Spirit of God bring what is lacking into your life. When we stir up and say, I want this gift, I want this area of ministry," we're creating that out of the flesh. And those are the works of strife and their envying and strife, trying to achieve things on your own power instead of God. And then the second one was to, if I only had this, I would be happy. How many of us said that? We've all said that. If I had this, if I was like her, if I was like him, if I could do this, if I had that car, if I had this job, I would be happy. But we have to be careful because, you know, we have to ask the question, how contented are we? And sometimes it's good to want things, but allow God to bring those into your life. Amen. When people are dissatisfied, they tend to cause trouble. Being resentful, you stir up strife, and when you don't get what you want, you get critical of others. So we have to be careful when we don't get what we want. Sometimes it's just God has you in that period of waiting.
Yeah.
Amen? And then I seen this as a little note. It says, make sure you are affecting the people you spend time with instead of letting them infect you. So what am I saying? Don't be around people that are always harboring anger and bitterness and strife and fighting, because they will infect you. But be around, let you affect them. The goodness that is within you, affect them. Amen. Before they can, you know, you ever been, like David said it a few weeks ago, you ever been around somebody that's always negative or depressed? They will try to put that upon you. Don't let them. Because they are trying to infect you with what they have. But you affect them with the spirit that you have. Mm. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. Greater is he that is in me. Come on. Amen? Than he that's in the world. And I like that. But see, the other thing is, too, we got to recognize, too, that there's two situations here that also this was a strife that they had against people and against situations. But not only that, but I want you to hear this, that this was a strife that you can have against God. Because it might not have worked out the way, or maybe you've seen something. You have this understanding of this thought, maybe this impression of God that somebody gave you. Do you know do you know that we get our impression of God is from somebody else? You met God because someone met God. Someone had a relationship with God and they led you to Him, or they spoke to you about them, or they gave you, they brought you to church, they brought you a place, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? So you met God because of somebody else. Amen? So I want you to see this. Listen, so it's powerful. So maybe that impression, if you got somebody in your life that was the first impression of God, let me just ask, anybody here that you've had an impression from God from somebody that probably wasn't good? Raise a hand. Most everybody. And sometimes I want you to know, it might be because of their relationship that they think they have with God, and they project it on you. So if he's ticked off all the time, if this person is angry, they're not happy with their relationship with God, they're mad because they quit all this stuff and they're not having any joy in their life, so they're angry with God because of it. God says, listen, God didn't put that on you. God didn't put that on that person. But they took it on themselves. They're trying to be good, or they do this or that. They're trying to have to do this. If you want to be bad, just go ahead and be bad. Because he wants you to do it. You've got to be at a place where your heart is saying, I'm done. Come on, amen. Because that's powerful. See, when if you're done, you're saying, I'm done. I'm not doing this because of what it looks like to somebody else, that you look that I'm holy. I get that all the time from people. They come around me and they're acting like, you know, this and that. I'm like, oh man, you smell like religion. Leave me alone. Don't put that on me. See, I love Jesus just because I love Jesus. I don't do the things I used to do because I love God. I want to because I love my relationship with God, because I know that what God says to me is for my good. So their relationship with God, they're still angry because God delivered them from Egypt. So here's these people, they're still angry, they're still bitter about things in the past, and they have this strife, this anger against God. And they're miserable. Imagine how God feels. It's like, are you kidding me? I did all this for you, because I love you. I want you to love me. I've made a way where there wasn't a way for your life, that you can have me in your life. Listen. It says, and they came up... It says, and they came up with their cattle and their tents. Listen to this. And they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They came for one reason, to destroy it. I want you to know, though, they were in tents. What are tents? What are they? They're not permanent fixtures. Sometimes we let temporary situations become permanent in our lives. Listen, I want you to hear this. And know, you might have been offended by what someone said about God in your life, and it put a tent in your life, and it's been there a long time. But I want you to know, let it be temporary. Don't let it stay. Come on, amen. Don't let it take hold of you. Don't let it build a place in your heart. Don't let it build have place in you, take hold of you. Don't give it any place. Say, man, I don't want that in my life. I don't accept that. I can't have that. I got to know God for who He is to me. I need to know who He is to me. Not because of someone else's anger is happy, not happy because they wish they would have done this in their life or they've been wild or crazy. I mean that. Come on, help me. Yeah. Because he opened himself up to that strife, that hatred that he had for him. Amen? Right. So you don't let temporary situations become permanent. And it says, and Israel greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They cried unto God. Listen, I want you to know that, listen, that this is powerful, that there's those moments in life where that you get this desire, you say, man, I'm tired of being this way. I don't want to be under the stress. I don't want to be under these situations in my life. There's things that we battle, even as Christians, even me, as walked in God, there's things sometimes where that, you know, you have things that come your way that causes you to fear. Come on, amen. It causes you to sometimes doubt things in life, sometimes doubt people or whatever it is, things that come your way, hatred comes your way and it hurts. Come on, somebody deceives you or somebody says something about you, and those things hurt sometimes. Amen? It says sometimes those things hurt, but we got to see here. We got to see that he said, and he says, and they cried unto God. At that moment they cried, they said, God, Lord, we need to connect back with you. Don't let things get too far beyond your control that we don't reach out to God and say, God, I need you in this today. In this moment right now. Don't let it get too far ahead of you. Amen? And it says, and it came to pass, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent a prophet. He heard them. He said, I brought you up out of Egypt. He began to tell them, I brought you out of Egypt. I never forsake you. I was always here for you. And I want you to see this. And he says, and there came an angel of the Lord, and he sat under the oak tree, and it pertained to Joash. And it says, and Gideon threshed wheat at the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Listen, here's this guy Gideon. Let me just get through this. Give me 5 minutes. You good? So here's Gideon. What is he doing? He's hiding. Do you know what we do when things come our way? When we fear, we hide. Have you ever hid? How many times have I said you feel like pulling the covers over your head because life's coming? But I want you to hear this and know this is the God that we serve. He doesn't want you to face it alone. You're going to face things in your life. But He says, I want you to face it with me. I want to empower you. I want to empower. You know what that means? Could you stand, honey? Stand for a second. Thank you. Listen. She can walk in her own power. Walk in her power. There you go. He's empowering you. What you couldn't do on your own, you couldn't get there. You weren't able to get there because, listen, here's the thing. That not only is God pressing you, but He's leading you where you couldn't go, where you were afraid to go on your own. God's bringing you there. And so here He is. God saying, I want to declare something. He found this guy, Gideon. He was in a wine press. He was in this place and he wasn't making wine. He was threshing wheat. He was threshing wheat. He was working for it. I want you to know that he wasn't making wine. Wine speaks of joy. He wasn't having any joy in his life. See, God comes to give you life and life more abundantly. to give you joy. Come on, amen? To give you joy. So here he is. He's at this place. This is what he says. He says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And he said unto him, Lord is with you. And thou art a mighty man. That's a misprint. He's hiding. But God says, you mighty man of valor. Here's what I'm talking about, guys. Everything has come against you. You've known it in your life. It feels like things have come against you and you've hid. But I want you to know there's a God, hallelujah, that created you. He has a purpose for you. He knows your name, and when He calls you by your name, mighty man of valor, you're going to say, what? You talking to me? Me? You talking to me? Come on. And then he argues. Like, he's at this place. You're a mighty man. He's hiding from the enemy. What's this guy talking about? What's this angel saying to me? He's hiding. I want you to know that God doesn't see you the way other people see you. This is why it's so important for us to be in one with Him. Because He'll tell you who you are. He will speak to your heart in worship and praise in words like here tonight. This isn't my heart for you, it's God's heart for you. That you know that you're mighty. You're a mighty man of valor. It would be one thing if He says, hey, you're a man of valor or something. No, you're a mighty man of valor. Not just a mighty man of valor. I want you to know that, this is the God that created you, that He knows you better than anybody else, better than any friends you thought you knew, people that you thought, even better than your parents or those that have been in your life. He knows you greater, and He knows what you're made of. He knows what you're made for, because He created you. He has a purpose for you, has destiny for you, and He wants to put everything, He wants to get behind you, press you through. There's some things that we face that we can't get through. You know why? Because we've done it without knowing that I'm a mighty man of valor, that God's backing me. He stands behind me. Come on, amen. That He stands behind you. Do you ever remember that thing you ever see that picture of that little kid standing there, and there's a big guy standing behind him, and he's like looking and watching the bear. It's a bear. It's a little bear, and the mama bear standing behind, and all of a sudden you see this, whatever it was a tire, bobcat or whatever, it takes off, and the bear thinks he's all tough. He's feeling so good about himself. But what was backing him was greater. Greater. What does the enemy see when he sees you? I want him to see a mighty man of valor. That I'm backed by heaven. That heaven's got my back. Let me finish. Long way. This is bad. I need to buy these stock in these things. Listen, and he said, and Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. Come on, is that the way we say it? Oh my Lord. He said, if you had been with me, why is this come on me? Did you ever talk that way to God? Come on, be honest. God, if you were with me, have we said that? Yeah, we have. If you were with me, how can this happen to my life? How could this have happened? He says, oh Lord, where were the miracles which the Father told us about? Those ones that had a relationship with God, where are they for me? Where are they? They seen the Red Sea split. Where is it for me? And he says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Next. He says, and the Lord looked up him and said, go. In this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites, have not I sent you? Listen, he jumps over what he's saying. He's not even paying attention to what he's saying. Here's Gideon talking about how God had failed him. I never failed you. I'm not going to take response to that. I'm not getting into the pit. What you believe that I'm not there for you, I'm not going to get into it. But I want you to come with me, because I said you're mighty. Listen, this is what we do with our relationship with God. We believe by faith. Come on, amen. We believe by faith. We walk this by faith, believing what God says about me. Believing that all that God says and everything that He did was for me. He died for me. He gave His life for me. He rose from the grave that I can have that life, that power inside me now. Not some other day, but right now. That I can overcome things in my life because He's empowered me, because He's called me mighty. He's called me mighty. He says, have I not sent thee? Next verse. And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. Isn't that what we do? Listen, the first thing he does is, well, I'm poor. I don't have enough. Listen, did you not hear what I said? I've called you. Listen, I want you to know, we've got to stop looking at what we have and remind ourselves of what he has. Because if you look at yourself and see what you don't have in yourself, but what other people have said about you, about what they've thought about you, we would give up and quit. But if we got to see the way that He created me and walk in the way that I've been created to walk in and accept it and believe it by faith, it'll change everything. Every single day it'll begin to change as you walk in it. And He says, I am the least. He says, the Lord said unto thee, I'm the least of all of them. All these, my brothers, everybody, I'm the least. I'm the littlest. I'm the weakest. I'm the poorest. I have nothing. Have you ever talked that way? You argued with God about it. And he says, and the Lord said, unto him, surely I will be with you. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one. Next verse. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. Listen, here's what he's saying. Jump back one. And the Lord says, surely I will be, thou shalt smite them, for I will be with you. And that's what we believe by faith. Just believe that God is for me, not against me. That what He says, I have to receive it for my life. I got to trust it. No matter what comes my way, no matter what comes up against us, no matter how things look on the outside, we got to trust God, know that He's with us, that He loves you, and you're worthy. And He's made a way for you to overcome every situation. He says, and I will be with you. I want you to know that, listen, Gideon believed it. Took him a little bit, but finally came to a place he believed it, received in his heart. And he went out and he did amazing things. They defeated the Midianites. Do you know that to this day, there's no such thing as Midianites? Not one exists. Because they were destroyed. And I want you to know that that's an example for me to say that, listen, strife can be destroyed. Chaos in our lives that take root in our hearts. Anger, bitterness. Whether we have it against God, whether we have it against other people, parents or friends, things, people that have hurt you, deceived you, I want you to know that God will empower you to overcome it, that it doesn't overcome you, that it doesn't have to take permanent residence in our lives. Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we can trust you. There's sometimes the chaos that we've created, the problems that we've let grow in our garden of life. But God, Lord, that you've made a way out of every situation to be able to overcome. But God, Lord, I ask to God, Lord, that you let us have that faith, to God, Lord, that you stir within us, to God, Lord, that as we hear your word, I pray that faith is built tonight in our hearts, that we believe in what you say about us, that we are created for purpose, that you have a plan, that we can't even imagine what it is in our own mind, in our own strength, but you do. I pray to God, Lord, that we begin to walk in that. We trust you, God, and walk in that reality, the truth of who we really are. Not walking anymore in false identity. I just want you to say this. Come on, amen. I just want you to confess this with your hearts and just believe it tonight. That whatever has come against you, whatever has been spoken over your lives, just receive this right now. Come on, everybody, just lift up your hands. And I just want to break anything that's been on you, anything that's been spoken over you, anything that has been created in your life to cause strife and anxiety and confusion. I speak right now, hallelujah, everybody in this place to God, Lord, I want you to repeat after me. Whatever has been spoken over my life, Lord, I ask you that it be broken now by the power of the name of Jesus. That it has no more stronghold in my life. It does not empower me. It doesn't strengthen me no more. But it's broken in the power of your name. We declare tonight, no more, no more, that I walk tonight empowered by you in your love, in your grace, in your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me, walk in it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug if they want it.